Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Leighton Branding. I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. And in this episode, I'll be talking about data visualization for beginners. And this is going to be the start of a series of episodes, probably about 3 to 4, in which I'll be talking about principles of data visualization, the advantages, disadvantages, some good resources, good tips and tricks, as well as, you know, of course, fundamental core concepts of data visualization. So, once again, welcome back to Leighton Branding, everybody. Thanks for listening. In this episode, I'll be talking about 5 things. I'll be talking about 1, a working definition of data visualization. 2, defining what data visualization is, and some things that it isn't. Then I'm going to be talking about advantages of data visualization. 4, disadvantages of data visualization. And 5, good resources that you could use if you're trying to get into data visualization. All right. First, there's a lot of vexed terminology and vexed definitions surrounding data visualization. So I'm going to offer a working definition. Again, this isn't set in stone. It's going to change over the course of the next 4 episodes. But data visualization is essentially turning information into pictures, images that are different from their original form. And so what I'm trying to capture with this brief definition is the idea that you're trying to take some sort of information that isn't quite organized and organize it into pictorial image form that's somewhat quicker, somewhat easier to digest. And so when I say information, I mean both quantitative information like numbers and measurements, as well as qualitative information such as texts and maps and other things like that. So data visualization can include both quantitative and qualitative information, and it's trying to create some sort of picture or image with that qualitative and quantitative information. From this working definition, it's important then to think about what data visualization is. And data viz is an art. Sometimes it's referred to as data science or visualization science. It is somewhat of a science in that it needs to be rigorous and you can need to be systematic about it. But it also involves art. It involves rhetoric. It involves true persuasion. It involves aesthetic skills. It involves the skills of a designer, a graphic designer, marketing and advertising even. And so in this sense, it's important to recognize that all data visualizations are a type of art. The other thing that data visualization is, just like all art is, it's difficult. It requires time and effort and energy. And in my classes, I've made the mistake of trying to put aside a week for data visualization or for visual rhetoric skills. And I highly recommend at least 2 weeks if you're teaching. And for people who are just beginning and trying to get into it, students or business people, whoever's listening to this podcast, I would recommend giving yourself at least a month just to play around and to find different sources and to learn about different things. The third thing that data visualization is and requires is a type of lateral thinking. And I'm going to use a very brief example here of what lateral thinking means in the context here. So data visualization requires a sense of lateral thinking in trying to think across the original type of information. So let's say that you have a map of the U.S. and you're trying to do a heat map or different point map. And so one of the things that you have to think about is alternative ways you can visualize literally the U.S. map. How can you warp the map structure? How can you move beyond just a geographical distribution? And so it's important to think about the different ways that information can be presented and to think for alternatives that you might not initially think of. Another thing, 4th thing that data visualization is it requires some technical skills. It doesn't require necessarily hardcore computing science, but it does require some basic technical skills. Using Excel, if you're good at using Excel and using the graphing tools on Excel, you're going to be better at data visualization, Tableau, RStudio, a lot of different kinds of technical skills are required to do good data visualization. But aside from the programs themselves, there's a lot of core concepts that are important for data visualization. And in the next episode, I'm going to touch on some of those core concepts. Another thing that data visualization is it's the movement from raw information or disorganized data to refined and organized information. And so what do I mean by this? It means you are you're somewhat of an editor with raw information as a data visualization specialist or a person who's trying to get better at data visualization. And then lastly, one of the things that data visualization is, it requires the ability to see the possible available means of persuasion. What do I mean by this? I mean that there are a lot of ways to persuade people. Let's say that you can persuade someone in 10 ways. You have to be aware of those 10 ways, even if you only decide on the final way or one of the ways. So you have to be able to see alternatives and see a broad scope of possibilities, even if you don't end up going with them. So that brings us to some of the advantages of data visualization. And there's about eight or so ways that I think about the advantages of data visualization. The first advantage is it allows you to deliver information quickly. Visuals are processed much faster. Visuals are considered more aesthetically pleasing. And so in that sense, if you're trying to make a case, particularly in web contexts, having a nice graph, having a nice figure, having a nice map is going to allow your audience to consume the information faster without having to wade through a paragraph or two or three paragraphs worth of text. Second advantage of data visualization is that we have a growing available set of data. All of the various social media tools, because they are templated, allow for larger sets of data to be collected. And we also can store that data. Hard drives are getting bigger. They're getting cheaper. And so we just have a growing available amount of data to visualize and to understand better. So that's the second advantage. The third advantage is also that it's easier to access the data. And what do I mean by this? I mean that it's easier to find data. Data is shared by the government. A lot of companies, even though a lot of their data is proprietary, there are many available data sets out there. People are data visualist enthusiasts. There are groups on Reddit and on the internet that are into visualizing data just for fun. And so we generally have easier access to data. The fourth advantage of DataViz is better tools. If you go back 20 to 25 years, you would need special computers, special kinds of computer equipment that aren't accessible to an everyday user. We have things like Tableau. We have things like the RStudio. We have GitHub, which has a lot of sort of different packages for RStudio. And so there are a lot of various good tools out there that we can use and have access to. And the tools themselves are better. They're faster. The fifth advantage to DataViz is we have better ways to display data. And what I mean by this is literally the hardware can better display data. People now have tablets. People now have mobile phones. They can display high-quality data visualizations with a lot of color. And so we have better ways to display the data. And so it's not just that we have better ways to produce data visualizations, but we also have better ways to look at them and to process them as readers and watchers and viewers. The sixth advantage to data visualization is, I think this is the case. We have data visualization allows us to have an increase in curiosity in the stories around data. And I mean by this, there are enthusiasts have access to it, and so they're curious about what's going on with the data. When you do visualize data, sometimes it makes you think differently about the data, and I'll share a story in a moment here. But basically, data visualization can lead to an increased curiosity about the story around the data. The seventh advantage is just to be blunt and honest about it, data visualization is entertaining. It's fun to look at. It's fun to produce. Even though it can be difficult, you can see a tangible result. Then eighth, and this is the most important, the best advantage about data visualization is it can make you rethink research and rethink the state of affairs in the world. And I'm going to share the example of Jon Snow, who was a medical practitioner in the 1800s, who basically in London understood that cholera was the result of bad water. And what he did is he took all the cholera cases and mapped them out onto a map of London, and then compared that with where water was coming from, basically figured out that cholera outbreaks were the result of bad water and followed the fecal trail in London. And so this is the pinnacle case, or the original case, of how data visualization can make you rethink things. So he was able to track the outbreaks because he labeled a map with all the different cases. And so he visualized the cases and their outbreaks. So those are the eight advantages of data visualization. This brings us to the fourth point, the fourth part of the episode, and these are the disadvantages. And I think there are fewer disadvantages. Obviously, I'm doing a whole series of episodes about data visualization, so I'm a little bit biased here. But there are some advantages or disadvantages that you want to be aware of. The first one, I think, is most important. It makes art look like science. So especially with good, precise visuals, if you have some sort of set of numbers or if you have a scale of some sort, it has a tendency to make art, the visualization, look like hard science. And so this brings me to the sort of the second disadvantage, and that it's data visualization often makes entertaining aspects illuminating. But it sometimes then, because it looks entertaining and looks good, it can elide some of the more details. And so it might smooth out details quite literally in terms of charting things out on a graph. It might smooth over things in terms of color scheme and things like that. And so it's just important to remember that data visualizations are entertaining and they can be fast, but they can also overlook important small details and they're not science. The third disadvantage is that we as readers, we as viewers, we as watchers have limited experience with visualizations. And so as researchers, we might have a tendency to overstate the importance of a visual. Data practitioners need to be aware of overstatement and overstating their case and creating visuals that overlooking details overstate the case. The fourth disadvantage of data viz practices is the average audience has a difficult time critiquing or seeing visuals as actively created and constructed, i.e. as art, as opposed to this is the way we as data viz practitioners decided upon a random infographic or something along those lines. And so it's important that often viewers and watchers have a tendency to receive visuals as fact and not as actively constructed things that we create on a screen or on a piece of paper. And then finally, the fifth disadvantage is scale. And this is probably the most important to people who are producing data visualizations because oftentimes audiences can't really process scale. So for instance, let's say you are doing a scale on from 1 to 100. That, for me as a reader, is easy to conceptualize. But let's say that you are doing a data viz that's on a scale of 0 to a billion. Number of people somewhere maybe in China or something like that. A billion is very hard for an audience, a watcher, a viewer to conceive of. And so it's important to recognize that you need to use a scale that is conceivable for your audience. So scientists probably are good with larger scales or very, very, very small scales in the sense of nanoscales. But it's important if you're a data journalist or something like that, practicing visuals for the Washington Post or even 538, that you need to be aware of the scale of your data visualization. All right. So this brings me to the fifth part and the final part of the episode, and it's some good resources. And these are resources that I found to be helpful when teaching. These are resources that I've found to be relatively cheap. You can usually check these out at your local library. You can also find passages from them scattered around the internet as PDFs. Some of these authors are still alive, and so you can attend some seminars with them. So I'm just going to go ahead and go through six resources, and the other episodes I'm going to talk about other resources. But these resources I'm going to talk about right now are good for beginners. My number one resource for beginning visualizations and just thinking about visuals in general is anything by Edward R. Tufte. Tufte's great. His books are relatively cheap. You can find a lot of them floating around as PDFs. You can buy used copies of them for very cheap. They teach well. They're good for thinking about. They're typically pretty easy to read. And to be honest, I think they're pretty fun. The number one book that I recommend from him is Visual Explanations, Images and Quantities, Evidence and Narrative. That's the number one resource I recommend if you're just trying to get into it. The second resource that I recommend is Visualizing Data by William S. Cleveland. This is a good resource to sort of pair with Tufte. I think it's helpful because Tufte talks about visual explanations, and then Cleveland talks about sort of actually actively creating some of these things. So they pair well together. And then we have Jacques Bertin's Semiology of Graphics, Diagrams, Networks, Maps. This is a good resource. And then some other resources that I recommend that you might be surprised at. I recommend going to the New York Times Visualization Lab. They do a lot of good infographics. They do a lot of good visualizations. They usually actually give you their methodology and how they created the visualization. So there's a good explanation that goes along with it. I know it's not a book, but it's a good resource. Number five, David Sibbett's Visual Meetings, How Graphics, Sticky Notes, and Idea Mapping Can Transform Group Productivity. I recommend this. It's not always relevant for producing visuals, but it is helpful to think about how visuals can help groups of people work together. And then sixth, this is a little bit maybe unexpected, but I recommend Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics. I think comics are useful for thinking about data visualization. I think Scott McCloud talks a lot about the concept of visuals and the relevance of them. So I highly recommend Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics. Maybe not the whole thing. That's good for maybe a class about producing comics, or for if you're trying to think about web comics a little bit. But it's good for just the basics, and you can sort of skim through it. Also, it's really cheap if you buy it on Amazon. Anyways, those are the six resources that I'll talk about for this episode. I recognize that they're all men, so I'm going to try and find some data visualization things written by women and people of color for the next couple of episodes. But once again, if you have any questions or comments, please email me at johnrgallagher@gmail.com. You can also contact me on Twitter. My handle is @MereSophistry. My handle is @MereSophistry. So once again, I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. Thanks for listening.